Hey everyone, this is Mike Haig from Race Day San Antonio, and welcome to a special Race Day essay podcast featuring the post-race interviews from today's NASCAR Cup Series Xfinity 500 at Martinsville Speedway. Today in Martinsville, Chase Elliott cruised to an impressive 6.577 second victory over Ryan Blaney to lock himself into the NASCAR Cup Series Championship 4 finale that'll be held next week at Phoenix Raceway in Phoenix, Arizona. Now, on today's special RaceDaySA.com podcast, we're going to hear from some of the drivers that competed today at Martinsville Speedway. First, we're going to hear from the eliminated playoff drivers. That includes Martin Truex Jr., Kurt Busch, Kevin Harvick, and Alex Bowman. We're also going to hear from Championship 4 driver Denny Hamlin, Championship 4 driver Brad Keselowski, Championship 4 driver Joey Logano, and third place finisher of today's race. We're also going to hear from second place finisher Ryan Blaney. We're going to hear from the race-winning crew chief Alan Gustafson. And we're also going to hear from race winner Chase Elliott, who is also a Championship 4 driver. Now, first up, we're going to hear from the eliminated playoff drivers. Here is Martin Truex Jr., Kurt Busch, Kevin Harvick, and Alex Bowman.
Okay, we're going to go ahead and open up the floor for questions. Our first question will go from come from Mark Garrow. Go ahead with the question, Mark.
Martin, just how disappointed are you to have the kind of effort you guys had today, a car capable of winning, and that not happening and not making the championship four?
That sucks, you know. I mean, team did a great job. We were doing what we had to do there, and that run right before the loose wheel, the car was just phenomenal. I mean, it was the best it had been all day. It was absolutely perfect as I could ask for it to be. And we were just driving away, and then we pitted, came back out, and fired off there, and it was just really, really tight. And started vibrating lap two or three of that run, and the nine pass just drove away, and we were just dropping like a rock because the right front tire was loose. So they don't turn too good when the right front wheel's not tight. It's really unfortunate. I felt like we were going to have a hell of a race for the win, and I really felt like we had what it took. But you got to do all those little things right, and we didn't today.
Martin, do you feel it was that kind of year? You guys were so close so many times, and it just didn't happen. Just kind of sum up the year altogether?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, definitely capable of a lot more than we've achieved, that's for sure.
Thank you.
We also have Kurt Busch with us as well. So if you do have a question for Kurt, go ahead and raise your hand, and then we'll get to you. We'll go next to Zach Sterniello. Go ahead with your question, Zach.
Kurt, you guys had a really fast car today. You guys were up toward the front at the start of this race in the top five. How do you evaluate today after knowing what was on the line, knowing that you guys had to win today?
Yeah, we put up a valiant effort. I was really proud of my Chip Ganassi Racing team to get this far in the playoffs and to post top five runs. That's what it's about, and we got to turn this into top fives throughout the year to get those points through the stages and to carry points with us through the playoffs. But I won't be too greedy. Again, I'm really proud of everybody at Chip Ganassi Racing, with Chevrolet, with Monster Energy, Gear Wrench. We were a deserving top eight team, and we put up a good fight. We just came home short, and it's great. We turned a corner. Last week, we finished seventh at Texas. When I first started here 2 years ago, we had a top 10 run, and everybody was celebrating. And last week, we were kind of just kicking the ground as we left the racetrack. We were satisfied, but it made us even hungrier. And so I'm just proud of the progression that we've had over 2 years.
What can you take from 2020 into next year now?
I don't want to take anything from 2020. I want to get back to normal. You got to adapt, and that's the key thing. We knew guys that were in this top five group were going to adapt with no practice. The matrix for starting positions is important. Can it be adjusted? I hope so. But all in all, 2020 was a challenge for everybody. We've got one more to give it our best out in Phoenix, and just cap off the season strong with what everybody had to go through together at Chip Ganassi Racing.
Our next question will come from Josh Sims. Go ahead with the question, Josh.
Hey, this one's for Kurt or Truex, whoever wants to answer it. But what does it say kind of about a season where you can have a guy like Kevin Harvick dominate and win, I think it was 9 races, and still not be able to make the championship four, just how difficult it is to really win that title for you guys in the sport?
it's hard to fathom. Never expected that out of the number four team. You know, Rodney Childers is a genius crew chief. Kevin Harvick is like a surgeon when it comes to gaining points. It shows you the level of competition and how everything is important. I mean, I expected tonight to battle the nine car for the win, and I knew I was going to have to race the nine and the 19 tonight, and never expected DeFore to have the trouble that he had. But it's just, it shows you how tough this really is. Truex, right?
Yeah, for sure, man. I mean, I actually didn't even know that DeFore didn't make it. So that's insane. The amount of bonus points they started playoffs with and not make it's crazy.
Good deal. Our next question is going to come from Ashley. Mm-hmm. Go ahead with the question, Ashley.
Kurt Busch, looking towards the next season, what are your thoughts on having Ross Chastain join Chip Ganassi Racing as a teammate?
I think he's a great choice. He's a young, hard charger. He's a go-getter. His work ethic has never been questioned. We just have to refine him a little bit as he's gaining this Cup Series experience. You know, things that happen in Xfinity, sometimes you got to leave him there and start all over. But he's a very deserving kid to get this chance. I'm really proud of Ross Chastain and the effort he's put forth over the last 5 years.
And looking at Chip Ganassi Racing's program, where do you feel you guys need to be to improve to be stronger in 2021?
We need Chastain to get up to speed quick. We need information sharing and identical setups or preparation to continue. You know, Hendrick Engines knows they've got work to do. Chevrolet, the Camaro, we've got to do as much as we can in the wind tunnel. And we have to perfect all these little things that that kept us out of victory lane this year. And a lot of it is on pit road. So we got to do better there as well.
And our final question for these gentlemen will come from Bob Pockers. Go ahead with the question, Bob.
Yeah, for Martin, a couple. First off, did you think you would have beaten Elliott without the tire issue?
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to say. I know that the loose wheel was the best the car had been. I mean, I honestly thought it was perfect. I don't know what I could have done different to make it better. So it would have been a hell of a race, I can tell you that, because, you know, we ran with him all day long, and, you know, he was really fast, but I was never really happy. And, you know, the one time we were happy, we didn't get to race with him because he was coming through the field. So, you know, I can't see, you know, I don't know, Bob, to be honest with you, but I feel in my heart that we had her dialed in and it was going to be a hell of a race and we had the lead. So it's where you need to be. I wish we could have found out.
And you said Harvick not advancing is insane. Is the system still okay when insane stuff happens?
It's not up to me.
Good deal. Well, Kurt, Martin, thank you for taking the time to join us, and good luck next weekend in Phoenix. Safe travels to you.
Thank you.
We now have Alex Bowman and Kurt Busch joining. So if you have a question for Alex or Kevin Harvick, please go ahead and raise your hand and we will get to you. And we're going to start with Bob Pockers. Go ahead with your question, Bob.
Yeah, this is for Kevin. Did you feel like the move on Kyle was going to work, or was that one of those where you thought you were probably going to crash as well, but you had to try it?
Yeah, it was just a move that I had to try to, you know, knowing that I needed one point, and I needed to hit him, you know, square in the door. But at that point, I was too late and wound up hitting him in the back. So just a Hail Mary that didn't work out.
And are you still okay with this system, even though you have a year where you have nine wins and you don't make the final four?
I mean, we had a great year. You know, these, like I said earlier, I mean, these just, they aren't won the same way that Earnhardt and Petty did. You have to, you know, put together a few weeks, and, you know, we didn't put together these last few weeks like we needed to and just came up short.
Our next question will come from Mark Garrow. Go ahead with the question, Mark.
For Kevin. Kevin, you've raced a long time. You've taken a lot of gut punches. Is this ranking up there as the worst or one of the worst gut punches you've had to take?
No, I've been punching the gut a lot harder. You know, we won nine races, had a great year. And like I said, you know, the championship is kind of a bonus. It'd be great to win it, obviously, but I'd rather go through the year and win races and do the things that we did and just came up short.
Our next question will come from Jeff Gluck. Go ahead with the question, Jeff.
Kevin, fans who have followed NASCAR for a long time are having a hard time digesting this one. I mean, you have one of the best seasons and years, and you know, it doesn't seem like you get rewarded for that. How do you justify it to people who are going to want to know, like, how Final Four drivers are going to go for the championship? You're not among them, and yet you're one of the clearly four strongest of the season.
Yeah, you know, that's the system that we work in, you know, and it's obviously skewed more towards entertainment than the whole year. So, you know, it's exciting to watch and has that format that goes with it. And you just, you know, you take them as they come and, you know, it's just we race within the system that they give us and do our best. And it just, you know, just didn't work out for us. So we just, you know, the last 3 weeks didn't exactly go exactly how we needed them to. And you got to be right when you get to this round of eight.
Our next question will come from Jordan Bianchi. Go ahead with your question, Jordan.
Kevin, what is it with Martinsville that gives you and Rodney difficulty? It's kind of been it's been a challenge for you guys since you guys started here together in 2014.
Yeah, we just got to make our car handle better.
Our next question will come from Daniel McFadden. Go ahead with your question, Daniel.
Yes, Kevin, with your record at Phoenix, what would it mean for you to be able to go in there next week and potentially rain on the potential champions parade and get the win and end that streak of the champion winning the race?
Yeah, you know, it's been a great racetrack for us, and obviously that's what we want to do, and I just want to get the season over with.
Our next question will come from Luis Torres. Go ahead with the question, Luis.
This one is for Alex. As agonizing as to not make the championship four, when you look back at this season as one of your proudest moments, considering you were able to make it this deep into the playoffs?
Yeah, for sure. I'm just really proud of my team. And, you know, we kind of had the opposite of Kevin a little bit. You know, we really struggled through the summer months of the regular season and came on super strong, especially the last 3 weeks. We've been really good. So just proud of everybody and the effort that got put in to kind of turn our season around heading into the playoffs, and proud of what we've been able to achieve through the playoffs. So we need to run better all year long and have more playoff points or win one of these final three races. But, you know, we had a really good year. Kind of bittersweet being the last race in the 88 car next week. And it'd be really special to get a win at home with this number. And hopefully we can get that done.
Our next question will come from Dustin Long. Go ahead with the question, Dustin.
Thank you. Kevin, you were not on the lead lap for more than 200 laps. Was that something – how did that impact things for you, or was that just more of a symptom of the car wasn't good and that was just an example of just the struggles all night for you?
No, we had a flat tire and had to pit under green. So, you know, we got a couple laps down, and then, you know, every time we'd get close, we had to you know, one of the other cars would get lapped, and so – it just wound up, you know, not working out for us quick enough to get back where we needed to be.
And our final question will come from Zach Sterniello. Go ahead with your question, Zach.
For Alex, you touched on how significant it would be for you to win at Phoenix. Obviously, you had your best run in the 88 filling in for Dale there in 2016. What are the kind of emotions that you take into next week? Kind of, and does that hold any kind of significance in your mind?
Yeah, for sure. You know, obviously that was a big day for me in my career. Probably got me the job at Hendrick Motorsports, and wish we would have got the job done. But we've been pretty awful there ever since then, and struggled to find what we need. So, you know, obviously the wins that I have in the 88 car are really special, and getting the 88 back to victory lane was really cool. I'm just super proud of the team and glad to have been a part of it. To do that at home next week would be really special to kind of cap it off. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely a big weekend for us. And anytime I go race at home, it's a big weekend for me, especially since we've been so close to winning there in the past. I feel like we put a lot of pressure on ourselves and know we can do it if we put the pieces together. And I think this year we've been putting the right pieces together, so hopefully we can make it happen.
Gentlemen, thank you for taking the time to join us this evening, and good luck to you in Phoenix, and safe travels to you.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Thanks again for joining us. Take care now.
Next up, we're going to hear from Championship Four driver Denny Hamlin, who drives the number 11 FedEx Ground Toyota. Here's what Denny had to say.
Awesome. Well, thank you for taking the time to join us. We're now joined by Denny Hamlin, one of our Championship Four drivers. We'll get right into questions here for Denny. So if you have one, please click the Participants tab and raise your hand. And we will kick things off with Rob with NASCAR. Well, Rob, I think we are losing you on your internet. If you want to send me the message, I can read it off for you.
Oh, sure. Give me 1 second.
So we will go to Zach Sterniolo. Go ahead.
Denny, you and Eric Jones were having a pretty heated battle there toward the end of the race today. Were you surprised or frustrated with how he was racing you there, or did you expect to be raced hard for just being that, you know, he's fighting for his position as well?
Yeah. I mean, we obviously had a big goal in mind, and we were 12th or 11th, and he wouldn't really wanted the spot. But, you know, we ran, you know, we were able to pick up my lap times there enough there at the end to kind of hold him off. And I got the high line going a little bit. But, you know, I put myself kind of there because I was kind of getting roughed up a little bit with some other guys, and I didn't want to cut a tire. So I just kind of backed off and didn't really run as hard as I need to early in that run. And obviously the four was going forward a little bit. And, but, you know, I don't fault him or anything. I mean, he finished behind us and we had enough to go on.
With all Kevin right. Harvick, with Kevin Harvick not advancing, how does that affect, kind of your thoughts heading into Phoenix on who you've got to beat? Obviously there's the 9 and the 2 in there now without the 4 there. Does that change your mindset at all?
No, I mean, you still have to win the race, so you're going to have to beat everybody. So I don't think that, you know, one guy in or one guy out really changes anything. You still have to beat 37 others.
All right, we'll take our next one from Bob Pockers. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, Denny, did you know you were going to be that close to Harvick, or were you surprised a little bit there at the end that the points were going to be so close?
No, I knew it was close. I thought it would be fast enough to just kind of, you know, when he kind of got to me, I'm like, I don't want to give him any chance to do anything here. So I just kind of let him go, and I figured I just could tag onto his rear bumper, and whoever he passed, I would pass. But, you know, it just didn't. We faded. We had a couple different codes with our Goodyear tires that didn't match up there at the end, and just wasn't a good combination for our car. We just struggled. So, you know, 11th was pretty much all we could muster there at the end. And luckily, you know, those guys didn't have a stellar race.
I assume NASCAR got what they wanted and everything coming down to the last lap today. So is this system a good system, or when the two guys who have won nearly half the races are fighting to get into the last race, is that an issue?
Yeah, I mean, they wanted a game 7 moment. You know, the only, you know, issues I have is that you can't ignore the first 8 innings. And myself and Harvick, obviously, have dominated for most of the season. But it's a 3-race schedule. I mean, I heard him say in his interview, it's these championships are a little different than what they used to be. And obviously, they come down to one race, and it's not a full body of work for your whole season anymore. So, as far as excitement, sure, we got some excitement this week, and we got the guy with 9 wins, not in the final 4 somehow.
All right, Denny, I'm going to read you a question here from Rob. While it was a tough night, you did make the championship 4. How important is it to have short-term memory of tonight to be ready for Phoenix?
Well, we won the first stage. We finished 3rd in the second stage, and then we had to go to the back. And 11th is all we could come back to. So it's just, I mean, I don't think we had an awful night. We just, we ran good for the first half of the race. And then once I got back in traffic and changed the tire codes, it was just awful. So, but I'm, you know, we can win in any week. We know that there's not, you know, wouldn't bet against us. Do it at your own risk.
All right. And we know how strong you are at Phoenix. How confident are you for your chances after such a good season?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just, you know, we've achieved our goal for the year. Our goal is to get to the final 4. After that, it's all about circumstances. You have to have a fast car, and you have to have things fall your way if you want to be a champion. So, you know, it's like I say, I agree with Kevin. It's a little different than it used to be. And so now it just comes down to one race. We've achieved our goal, you know, 2 years in a row now making the final 4. hopefully we can finish this thing off. We obviously had a great Phoenix last year. Things were a lot different. You had a different aerodynamic package, but certainly I feel like when I go there that I'm going to roll off and hopefully have a race winner.
All right, and I'm going to read one more to you for Jerry Jordan. He's saying you're advancing to the championship four and it, as Toyota's only hope of winning a championship this season in all three of the NASCAR National Series. It's hard to believe that you need extra motivation for the title, but does that weigh on you at all?
No, not really. I mean, I, to be honest with you, I'm more concerned with my own personal goals and winning a championship. Toyota's won the last few years with Truex and Kyle. So, I mean, listen, selfishly, I want to win for myself. And then right behind that, I want to win for JD Gibbs and that whole family. So after that, you got a lot of partners. FedEx has been supporting this thing for a very long time. 15 years I've been with them. It means a lot to give those employees a championship that they deserve. They believe in NASCAR and they believed in me, and to give another opportunity for them to win a championship would be great. Then right after that would be the Toyota folks. They obviously are big supporters of Joe Gibbs Racing and myself with the new team we're starting. So I can't tell you how big it would be, but I know it would be big to a lot of people, but selfishly, I want it for myself.
All righty. We'll take another question from Adam Cheek. Go ahead.
Hey, Denny. You said as night fell, your car's handling really started to go away. What was the biggest swing that you saw as night fell? You led 40 laps and you kind of faded as the race went on.
Yeah. Wasn't as good, especially as the sun started setting. For me, I just started getting really just struggled with the balance. And, you know, I don't think that it was necessarily a this race thing. I think, you know, the last 4 years or so at Martinsville, it's been the same kind of thing where we get to the end of it and it's just we're not as good when the track cools off or rubbers up or whatever it might be. But I told Chris after the race, I'm like, you know, I got to spend a week this offseason working on Martinsville trying to figure out why when it gets nighttime or just not as good, you know, let me know. Let me know when you want me to go to the simulator and work on it. So, obviously, I definitely want to get better.
All right, we'll take our next question from Jeff Magliocchetti. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hi, Denny. Congratulations on advancement. This was an unusual spot for Martinsville in the sense that this is the first time it was the final race of the round of eight. So what did you think of the type of racing we saw here today in an unusual spot in the schedule for Martinsville Speedway?
Yeah, I honestly thought it was a fairly tame Martinsville compared to the ones that we've had in years past. So I don't know. I mean, it did get strung out there times. Restarts weren't all
Denny, I think we may have lost you.
There wasn't a whole, I think tire loss, so, you know, certainly tire issues. So how about now?
Yeah.
How about now?
Go ahead. Sorry.
Better?
But
I didn't think that this year's Martinsville was really any different than any normal one. I thought actually the fall Martinsville races in the years past have been actually more crazy than what this one was. But overall,
I think we lost Denny. So we're just going to – sorry about that, Jeff.
You can move on. You can move on if you want. I certainly don't want to hold everyone up.
Okay. We will have him later on as well for anyone whose question we didn't get to.
All right, next we're going to hear from Championship 4 driver Brad Keselowski, driver of the number 2 Dent Wizard Ford. Here's what Brad had to say.
Well, we are now joined by Championship 4 driver Brad Keselowski. Brad, thanks for taking the time to join us. We'll get right into questions here for you. Let's kick things off with Mitchell Brewer. Go ahead, Mitchell.
Brad, earlier this season, you called this one of your best seasons of your career. Going into the Championship 4, do you still feel that to be the case?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we're winning races. We got 4 wins this year. Making the championship 4 is a big deal. Credit to Team Penske for that, for having 2 cars in it, Joey and myself. And the way Blaine ran tonight, he shows that he's one of the best drivers out there, too, and could easily have been in that list or been in the championship 4 if some things would have gone his way. But, wow, I'm just it was a long night. All right. But I thought we were one of the best cars at the end of the race, if not the best car, and was just a little disappointed in the speeding penalty. I'm still not sure I understand it. I didn't feel like I was speeding, but either way, great finish for us. I'm really proud of everybody.
All right, we're going to take our next question here from Lee Spencer. Go ahead, Lee.
Thank you. Gutsy performance champ. I heard Coleman giving you a lot of information throughout the course of the end of the race, but how worried were you about Harvick making a charge there on the last lap?
Oh, I was very worried. Sorry, Roger calling me.
Bigger name on the other line.
Well, I'll call him right back if you're watching, Mr. Penske. But anyway, really proud of him. Well, he did a great job to walk me through what's going on. I had on my shoulder. Passing the cars I was around, and just so hard to pass cars in such a time. And, Coleman did.
Sorry, Brad, I think we lost you there. Lee, did you get what Brad answered, or did you have a follow-up?
It was about half an answer. Would you mind going through that again, please? Because you were breaking up significantly. Sorry about that.
How about now? Can you hear me?
Yeah, just take me through what was going through your mind over those closing laps, because, you know, you're getting information. Harvick's getting information. He's closing in on you.
Yeah. Well, I passed him to, you know, to gain the 7 spots I needed. And it was just a matter of, I knew he had some teammates in front of him that obviously could help him out a little bit. And, I was really close, and, there's just only so much I can do about him. I was trying to focus on just myself, but of course I wanted to know, right?
We've been going through this playoff system since 2014, and, you know, here we have the guy that has the most wins throughout the season isn't going to be there to fight for the championship. You see anything wrong with that?
Well, I've been there too, Lee. I won 6 races in 2014, didn't make championship 4, most of anybody, the entire year. And I'll tell you, it stings, and I feel for Kevin, because I've been there. You know, the format is what the format is. Not our job to decide the format. It's our job to race the format. And I'll ask for that.
Appreciate your time. Good luck next weekend.
Thank you.
All right. We'll take our next question from Cole with Popular Speak. Go ahead.
Hey, Brad. Congratulations. I'm just kind of curious. With the championship 4 set, is there one driver you see as the biggest threat? And if so, why?
No, I think all of us are pretty evenly matched going into Phoenix. Denny's had some good runs there. Chase has had some good runs there. Joey won last spring. We've been so good on that type of track this season. I think this is about as even matched as it's going to get.
Go ahead.
How about Bob? You got me?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. I'm listening to 2 things at once, but I got you. Was that nerve-wracking, or when you're in the moment, are you just like, okay, I need to get this spot. If I can get it, I get it. If I don't, I don't.
Yeah, you know, you're just trying to control what you can control, Bob, and I can't control the 4 car. I can't control those other guys. All I could do is really run my own race, and that's what I was trying to do, is run my own race and not get ourselves in any trouble by overthinking it. I definitely can't control the 4 car or the 11 car. I knew it was really close with all of us, but I hope you guys had fun. That was a hell of a race.
And you seemed a little bit surprised that you got a speeding penalty. Did you ever get kind of any, do you think your lights were off?
No, I think something didn't add up there. Being in the first stall, you shouldn't be able to speed in the first or last segment on the racetrack. I wasn't even up to speed. So it's tough because, on these rounded corner pit roads, you don't have to be at full speed to be speeding because of the way that the math is figured out. You know, it's a time thing. It's not an actual speed. So I'm going to have to take a look at it.
All right. We'll take our next question from Jeff Magliocchetti. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hi, Brad. Congratulations on a strong run and for advancing into the championship 4. When you guys endured that speeding penalty, it would cause like a lot of lesser teams, you know, cringe, make excuses, whatnot. You were back to a great finish and to advancement. How proud are you of the resiliency that this number 2 squad has displayed, not just tonight, but all season long?
Oh, that was some resiliency. Sorry, I'm in a spot where I can't have my camera on, but that was certainly some resiliency for sure to make it through a moment like that. I mean, talk about back up against the wall. Oh, my gosh. That's as back up against the wall as you can get. And I just drove the best race I could drive, and the team did the best job they could do with the remaining pit stop, and we were back at it.
All right, Brad. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us. Congratulations on that championship four berth, and we'll see you at Phoenix.
Thank you.
All right. Next, we're going to hear from third place finisher and championship four driver Joey Logano, driver of the number 22 Shell Pennzoil Ford. Here's what Joey had to say.
All righty. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us. We're now joined by our third place finisher and championship four driver, Joey Logano, the number 22 Team Penske Ford. We will take questions right away for Joey. So if you have them, please click the participants tab and raise your hand. And we will kick things off here. Go ahead, Rob, with NASCAR pole position. Go ahead.
Joey, congratulations on making it to the championship four. It's got to be really exciting for you, given that you kicked off the round of eight with a win at Kansas. And now you're going to Phoenix, a really good track for you. So first of all, how excited are you to go battle for your second championship?
Yeah, of course we're excited. We're ready to go. This is a great opportunity. We were able to lock ourselves in a couple weeks ago and be able to breathe for a minute and get through to these last couple of races. What a crazy race it was today for those guys trying to get their way in. So, glad we were able to keep some momentum up, get a good starting spot. I don't know where we're going to be for next week yet, but hopefully it's a good starting spot and we're able to, fight our way and try to get our second championship.
For sure. My last question for you is, you mentioned to me at Charlotte that you had the competition right where you want them to, and you wouldn't be probably the most favorite title contender, but here you are, you're in it. And it's been quite a ride. So given you're able to overcome these challenges in the season, how would you say it's been to have this chief in your team?
Well, you guys told me we weren't the favorites in 2018. So we'll believe what we want to believe, and we'll believe in ourselves first. So I'll tell you again, we're the favorites to win this thing. That's how it is in my mind. And I said it a couple weeks ago, it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks.
Well, I had you as my favorite, but.
All right, we'll take our next one from Bob Pockris. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, Joey, obviously your win at Texas denied Harvick that win, and then Harvick gets knocked out. I'm just curious, how big a deal is it to have Harvick out of the final four?
I mean, it's surprising, that's for sure. And obviously, we know what Kevin's record is at Phoenix. So obviously, we all thought that he's got as good a shot as anyone. He's strong there. He finished second right behind us there when we were there in the spring. So he's gonna be fast. But I said this before. Everyone's gonna, the top four cars, those championship four cars, are all gonna be racing for the win. That's one thing I think we can be pretty certain of.
And I mean, do you like the system? Obviously it helps you this year in a year where maybe you didn't have as many wins as some of the others, but everybody has a chance.
I love it, actually. I mean, it brings these crazy moments. I mean, I couldn't imagine what it was like watching the race tonight with every possible scenario getting thrown out there, with 9-19 in the lead. And then, you got guys racing for points behind them, trying to get every point they can. And it's all within a point and racing all the way to the checkered flag like that. I mean, that's crazy. That's absolutely amazing. So, I believe the system is very fair, but it's just like any other sport, right? In the NFL, you can have an amazing regular season and lose the first game and you're out, right? I mean, that's just what playoffs are. I'm glad we have it in our sport because it produces some amazing moments. And there'll be another amazing one next week when you have four cars going for it.
All right, we'll take our next question from Aaron Bearden. Go ahead, Aaron.
Last 100 laps or so, it seemed like the Penske cars were kind of the dominant group. You guys had the top two, and I think Brad was trying to pass Chase for third. What did you see from Chase over that last run, I guess, that kind of let him sneak up on you guys and drive away with the win at the end?
I saw his back bumper too much. It seemed like whatever they did to their car the last run, that thing took off. So he definitely was able to find some speed there the last run and get out ahead of me and, and ahead of the 19 and he just kind of kept going from there. So, they made some good adjustments, whatever they did.
Aaron, I don't think we can hear you.
Can you hear me now? Am I good?
No, we can't hear you. We'll take a question from Jeff Magliocchetti. Go ahead.
Hi, Joey. Congratulations on advancing. You guys were in a luxurious position, one could say, with your win at Texas, clinched over the next two races. What did you learn about your car and your team over these next two events, and what lessons can you take into the finale at Phoenix from what you learned over the past two?
Well, I mean, really the past 2 weeks, the advantage we earned was to be able to focus on our Phoenix car before everybody. That's the advantage we had. We get to go to these races and not have our tongues hanging out, trying to get in, you know, our batteries are charged up and we're ready to go. So that part is nice. I think we proved that our pit crew tonight is absolutely incredible. They kept us up front all day long. I don't think there was one pit stop I didn't gain at least one spot throughout it. So our pit crew is strong and they'll be ready to go when we get out there. And so you know, I think we've proven that our team is definitely the team to beat. We're well-rounded, and I think that's something that can help us next week.
All right, Joey, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us. Congratulations on that championship four berth once again, and we'll see you next week.
All right, appreciate you guys. Have a good one.
Thank you. You too.
All right, next we're going to hear from second place finisher Ryan Blaney, driver of the number 12 Menards, Libman Ford. Here's what Ryan had to say.
All right, well, we're going to get right into questions for our second place finisher, Ryan Blaney. If you have a question, please click the participants tab, and we will get you in the queue. Let's see. Let's kick things off with Casey Campbell. Go ahead, Casey.
Thanks, Marissa. Ryan, how are you?
I could be better.
Just overall, go through your run and what was it like battling up in the front with your teammate for the win, for the lead there when the 20 with the 22?
Yeah, we you know, pretty decent all day, and you know, we got progressively better. I sped on pit road you know, before that first stage, that really set us back. But good thing we had, you know, we had a lot of time to get back up through the field after that. But yeah, we got the lead there, which is good. And then we were just kind of riding around, buying our time. And crash came out. We lost spot on pit road, lost the lead, lost control of the race. And then fell back to third or fourth on the restart. They got back second. And then we were just trying to run the 19 down and crash came out again. And we lost a couple more spots on pit road and can never get back up there. And by the time we got second, the nine was completely gone. So overall, not a bad night. It sucks to finish second here, though, both times this year.
Was it the cautions that killed you?
No, I mean, you know, cautions maybe, but, you know, if we just maintain on pit road, I thought, you know, we'd have a good shot at it. We just didn't do that tonight.
All right, we'll take our next one from Jeff Magliocchetti. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hi, Ryan. Thanks for joining us. Congratulations on a runner-up finish. This is your fourth consecutive top 10 finish over this playoff stretch. Do you think you and the number 12 team are building some strong momentum toward 2021 over these recent runs?
Yeah, I mean, that's what it's all about, right? I mean, we our playoffs, you know, ended prematurely there. Being eliminated in the first round, you know, really bums everybody out, obviously. And but we wanted to show that, you know, we can run up front and contend for wins. And, you know, our main goal when we got knocked out is try to, you know, run as well as we can, obviously try to win races and then, you know, get ready for next year. I mean, that's the main thing. So, yeah, I've been proud of this 12 group here. You know, the past handful of weeks, we've been really strong. I've had a chance to win a couple races, just need to put it all together. But, yeah, definitely hopefully we can have a good day at Phoenix and, you know, have a really good, you know, off season headed into next year.
All right, Ryan, thank you for taking the time to join us. Congratulations on the finish. We'll see you next week.
All right. Next, we're going to hear from race-winning crew chief Alan Gustafson. Here's what Alan had to say.
All right. Hey, Alan, can you hear me okay?
Gotcha. You got me?
Yes, we've got you. All right. Well, we are now joined by our race-winning crew chief, Alan Gustafson, the number 9 Napa Auto Parts Chevrolet, and a new crew chief heading to the Championship Four. So congratulations and thank you for taking the time. We're going to get right into questions. We will kick things off with Jenna Fryer. Go ahead, Jenna.
Hey, Alan, congratulations. On the pit stop when your Jackman came back to the wall, you guys were aware of that? Was that something that you had drilled into those guys for him to get back to the wall?
Yeah, I mean, we're certainly aware of it. I can't take the credit for, you know, coaching that into those guys. I think that credit goes to Chris Berkey and our pit crew, to coaches in our pit department, and they did a good job of, you know, instructing those guys what to do, TJ what to do. And it's a new rule. Man, I want to say it's new either this year or last year. It's certainly an adjustment NASCAR's made. To give those guys a little bit of forgiveness if that was to happen. And so, yeah, they did a great job, and it was a huge moment in the race. Certainly we didn't need the mistake, but for TJ to have the wherewithal to go back to the wall and reset was great.
How much stress was there tonight with the way it was going up and down and back and forth and people were in and out the whole race?
Yeah, I mean, it's an intense race. It's a lot of fun. This is a great track. I mean, it's a good place to do this. You know, for us, I was, you know, I had my mind made up. We were going to have to win. I didn't really see any way to get in on points. And especially when the 2 and the 11 and some of those guys did fairly decent the first stage. You know, it was going to be all about winning the race. So we were able to do that, fortunately, and, you know, that was our focus. So we didn't get too caught up in, you know, the back and forth of it.
All right, we'll take our next question from Bob Pockers. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, Alan, first to follow up on Jenna's question on the pit crew guy, you know, the rule says that you have to kind of reestablish yourself to the wall. Did you guys know, okay, you just need to touch the wall? Like, is that an interpretation that NASCAR has described to you or your pit coaches?
Basically, yeah, yes. I mean, I don't know the exact language that they've described it to us, but yeah, you just got to get back on the wall or, you know, your foot back on the wall. So, you know, I certainly don't want to, I don't think it's a judgment call in my opinion. I feel like that's pretty straightforward. I think that, you know, he did what he was supposed to do. He took the time to reset and it's you know, the way the rules stated.
And what do you think this win means, not for next week, but for Chase and your team in the years going forward?
It's, you know, this is, we've been trying to take this step now for the last 2 or 3 years. And I feel like we've been really ready to do it and able to do it. We just have not done it when it mattered. And today we were able to and overcome some pretty tough circumstances at Texas and come here, you know, really in a must-win situation, and being able to do it was great. So it's great for the team. Super proud of those guys. Everybody at HMS certainly delivered. Brand new car, great car. Tons of speed, obviously. Great engine. You know, pit crew did what we had to do, and yeah, it's a good day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, we'll take our next question from Lee Spencer. Go ahead, Lee.
Thank you. Alan, I'm just kind of curious. I heard you get pretty hot about guys running into you purposely to try to cut the tire, you know, using the fender to do that. I guess that's always been a practice in short track racing, but is there any way to police it?
I think it's self-policing, in my opinion. And, you know, there's a couple guys that consistently do it, at least to us. And you just get tired of getting raced that way. So yeah, I was pretty upset about it. And if that ultimately was a tire rub and would have cut our tire down and it was going to get ugly in a hurry because it happens, right? I get it. You're racing and, you know, I think you see guys, when you're racing them, things happen and you might get into each other, but when it happens consistently from the same person, you're just over it.
All right. We'll take our next question from Cole with Popular Speed.
Thank you. Hey, Alan, congrats on the win. What do you believe sets the number 9 team apart from the other 3 championship contenders in 2020?
Well, you know, our objective is to have the fastest car. That's going to be the key. So that's certainly what we're going to try to do. And I think the person with the fastest car has a significant advantage in the race. So that's what we'll focus on trying to do. And that's going to be our objective.
All righty. We'll take our next question from Jim Utter.
Congrats, Alan. To go back to an earlier question, talking about to be able to do what you haven't done before, Chase mentioned the importance of, he called it, to be able to perform when you have no choice. Would you kind of agree with that assessment as an accomplishment in tonight?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's a tough thing to describe and I'm trying to think of the best way, you know, when you've got one shot. I mean, that's it, right? I mean, it's, you know, I never played in the major leagues or whatever, but, you know, you think about the World Series and you're up the bat and this is it, right? You're bottom of the ninth and 2 outs and it's up to you to make it happen. So those pressure situations in sport are great. I think that's what draws so many fans and gets everybody so excited and it's, you know, such a special moment. And that's what you have to do. You have to be able to deliver when that's it. It's your last shot. It's time to go. It's time to do it. There's no tomorrow. And to be able to do it Like I said earlier, I felt pretty confident we had to win. I didn't really all week, didn't have any designs of anything but winning. You know, we knew that that was what it was going to take. The competition's too good to make up 25 points in a race. It just wasn't going to happen. So, yeah, we knew we had to win, and everybody did. I mean, it was a huge effort. You know, you see what goes on here at the track, but what you don't see is everybody in the shop at midnight on Friday, getting the car ready to go and making sure every single circumstance of the car is as good as it can be. And just putting their heart and souls into it. So that's a huge thing for us to be able to pull it off.
All right, Alan, well, we'll let you go. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. As a reminder, Alan will be back with us this week for the Championship 4 Media Days. So congratulations on the win, and we will see you tomorrow and later on in the week.
All right, and to wrap up today's podcast, we're going to hear from race winner Chase Elliott, who also qualified to be one of the Championship 4 drivers. He drives the number 9 Napa Auto Parts Chevrolet. Here's what Chase had to say.
Brady, well, congratulations, and thank you for taking the time to join us. We will get right into questions for our race winner. If you have one, please raise your hand. And we will kick things off with Cole with Popular Speed. Go ahead, Cole.
Hey, Chase, congratulations. I'm curious, with the Championship 4 set, is there one team you see as the biggest threat? And if so, why?
I think the worst thing we can do is worry about everybody else all week. But for right now, I'm just enjoying the night. You know, this is a big moment for us having to perform in a tough spot where we had to and didn't have a choice. I think that's something we've been missing as a team and something we haven't been able to achieve over these last handful of years. So to be in the position we were in tonight, to have to perform, to go perform, to win the race and, you know, lock ourselves into Phoenix and have a shot for a championship. These are all moments that I've never experienced and moments that we haven't done yet as a team. So I'm just enjoying that right now. I know the week's short, but I'm going to enjoy that for sure for a little while. And, you know, we'll go to work on Phoenix starting tomorrow.
All righty. Bob Pockers, go ahead.
Yeah, Chase, is this the biggest win of your career?
Oh, hands down, I think. Yeah, absolutely.
And just what do you think kind of getting over the hump of getting into the Final Four and doing it this way doesn't just mean for the next 6 days, but can mean for years to come?
Yeah, I think you hit it. You know, I think it's huge. I think it's huge for me personally. I think it's huge for our team as a whole, each and every person that puts in time and effort to try to make our program work. I think that when you're able to be in a position that we were in, like we were tonight, and have to go to perform and go and do that, I think everybody gains a lot of confidence from it. And we prove to ourselves that we can do it. I think we always have believed we could do it. But to go out there and achieve it certainly is something that we haven't experienced yet as a group. And to win a championship in this series, you have to make the Final Four. We've seen the same crowd make the Final Four since this deal has been implemented. And we want to assert ourselves amongst the people who can make it consistently. And I feel like we're very capable of doing that. So we just have to seize the moment, enjoy it. This is a huge week. And I'm just excited to get out there and try to have the best race we can.
All right, we'll take our next question from Jeff Gluck. Go ahead, Jeff.
Chase, when you're in a massive moment like this that you've never really been in before, is there any like extra composure that you have, you know, in those final laps or even, you know, when you're making the pass to lead to calm yourself down or, you know, how do you stay focused? How do you, you know, keep your lunch from not coming up, things like that?
Yeah. Good question. I think for me and kind of the experiences that I've kind of had handed to me over the past number of years and since I've been in Cup have taught me a lot of lessons that the race is not over. And I think we've all kind of seen that, different positions we've been in, races we've lost. So for me, I don't have to think back into my head very far to realize that the race isn't over till it's over. And to just be prepared for another caution, another restart, you know, whatever it takes to try to get the job done. I knew everybody had their last set of tires on. So, you know, we were going to be riding that set to the end. So if we, you know, had a caution there or just a couple laps to go, everybody's going to be restarting old tires. Certainly it's challenging. And I was, you know, just thinking about that and try to be prepared for what was to come. Because I feel like the odds of a caution coming out were better than not having one, to be honest. So I was surprised to see it go green.
All right, we'll take our next question from Jim Utter. Go ahead, Jim.
Hey, congrats, Chase. Kind of following up a little bit on what Bob asked. Not only is this a big day for you, but it'll be the first time Chevrolet has had a driver competing in the Championship Four since 2016, who happened to also be the last Hendrick driver, which is Jimmy Johnson. You know, it's probably a pretty big deal for manufacturers not to have a chance to even win the championship. So I just wondered what your thoughts are on being able to that, in addition to it for yourself personally.
Yeah, absolutely, Matt. I mean, it's a huge deal for everybody involved. You know, obviously me personally, it's a huge deal. I've never been in this position before, and that's exciting. But for everybody that is a part of our organization, obviously Napa is a huge partner. Super pumped to have them on the car tonight. A big moment, and they've been a big piece of my career. Hendrick Motorsports, you know, everyone that lays a hand on our cars, it's a big deal for everybody to have a chance to win a championship. And, you know, for Chevrolet to have a shot again this year, I think is important for them for sure. So we're I'm excited for everybody. I'm excited for myself. I'm going to enjoy it, and then we'll go to work tomorrow and get ready for the big day.
And just your thoughts in general on Phoenix being the decider. Do you think when you look at your competition that you'll stack up pretty good?
Yeah, I mean, I think the worst thing we can do and is to sit back and watch, you know, worry and watch everybody else. I just think we need to focus on ourselves this week and really think about what we struggled with there at the first race this year, what we might need to do to be better, and put our best guess on that and go run the race. I think if we sit back and start worrying about who's favorite and who's not and who's underdog and, you know, getting the, you know, everybody running their mouths deal, I'm just not about that. So I think it's unproductive, and we're going to worry about ourselves and try to go give it our best shot to win.
All right. We'll take our next one from Andrew Curlin. Go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, Chase, you kind of just touched on that about what this week will look like. Normally, championship contenders have the whole weekend to run through and get themselves in championship mode, but you got to take the green on Sunday once again with no practice. What do you think this week's going to be like in terms of anxious, being excited, especially moments before the green flag? What do you think you're going to be feeling?
Yeah, I mean, I think just excited and looking forward to the opportunity. I think the more that you can enjoy that moment and enjoy being backed up against a wall and having to perform, the more you can enjoy that, the better off you're going to be. And that was something we really put a lot of emphasis on, or something I have personally put emphasis on, just to try to get better in those moments. And that was what we had to do today. So I think moments like tonight, you know, prepares you for moments like what we're going to see next week, and I'm excited about it.
Is Sunday going to be a backs against the wall kind of moment for you again?
Well, you got to win the championship. So, yeah, I would say so.
All right. We'll take the next one from Tucker White. Go ahead, Tucker.
Chase, given that a driver like Kevin Harvick, who had 9 wins this season, completely missed out on the playoffs, like, what is that on in a season where if it had gone a full season with points-wise, he would have won the championship a few days ago at Texas? Like, what does that say about the integrity or even legitimacy of that, of said championship?
I mean, the rules are the rules, and I don't get a vote in that. I don't want a vote in that. I know that that's just – they're the same for everybody when you start the year, and whether you might agree or not agree with it, that's just what it is. I'm focused on ourselves and enjoying tonight. Had to come out here and perform, and we did. And I think worrying about other competitors is just not going to get us anywhere. So I'm just excited for us and looking forward to a great opportunity next week.
All right, and we'll take another one from Jeff Magliocchetti. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hi, Chase. Congratulations on a big win and for advancing. You know, what was your message to the team once you got to greet them at the end of the race? Because, you know, you guys proved that tonight that NASCAR is a team sport, some good pit stops, and for appealing the penalty originally assessed after that one stop late in the race. So what did you say to your team when all was said and done at the end of this?
Yeah, just a lot of yelling and screaming and happy people. You know, this is a moment that we haven't experienced together. And I know I've said that a few times tonight, but you just don't know those emotions until you go through it and are able to experience it. And we obviously all put a lot of effort in to try to do our jobs to the best of our ability. TJ made a mistake, and he was heads up enough to go back and fix it, to not have to go to the back of the field. That probably, if he hadn't have done that, I don't think we'd have been able to win. There just wasn't enough time left. So that was super heads up. And it absolutely is a team sport. We can't do it on our own. I can't do it by myself. No one on our team can do it alone. So we recognize that. I feel like we have a great group and a group that's capable of winning. Thought we showed that and proved that tonight. And I think we can have a great shot next week.
All righty. And we'll take one more here for you, Chase. Steve Hummer, go ahead.
Yeah. Hey, Chase, have you had any chance to check in with your father and get reaction? And what do you, if not, what do you suppose the reaction is going to be back home?
Yeah, I'm excited. I don't have my phone on me. So he's not here. My family isn't here. I wish they were. So hard, right, to come to these races by yourself some weeks and not have that support group around you. But I certainly, wish they were here. Wish we could have shared this moment together. But looking forward to seeing them tonight. And, be headed home here just in a little while.
All right, Chase. Well, congratulations. Thank you so much for taking the time. We'll see you at Phoenix. And best of luck.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
All right. Now, that about wraps up today's special Race Day Essay podcast. Now, the season finale 500 will be at the 1 mile Phoenix Raceway that'll take place next Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. You can hear the race on NBC, MRN, Sirius XM, NASCAR Radio, and also I'll have a full race coverage with photos, interviews, and a full story at racedayessay.com. So be sure and check out my website. Once again, that's racedayessay.com, Race Day San Antonio. Thanks a lot for listening. Hope you all have a good day.